If you would, open up to the book of James, the epistle, if you will, the letter of James, quite possibly the first book written in the New Testament. Remember, our author is the half-brother to Jesus, and he is writing to Christians, brothers and sisters who are dispersed. They are all over the place, and this letter goes to them. We are picking up, again, a letter, so it continues. It's so difficult to get that feeling, a letter over, I mean, this has been 3 months now, I guess. We're into the third chapter, but it is a letter. It's read in one sitting. It is to a group of people, and each portion builds and continues from the last. So, if you would, let's read James 3, 13 through 18, 13 through the end of the chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come before you, a humble people. Lord, we desire the wisdom that only you can give, that we find in your word. Help us, Lord, not to be arrogant, boastful, as if we know all that we can know. Lord, we desire, again, wisdom from above. We desire to know you, and to serve you by even showing that we have true faith as a natural, with our works being a natural outflow of that. Lord, we ask that you would impart wisdom even today to your people, that you would help me to communicate clearly, and that by your Spirit, your word would affect your people. In Christ's name, amen. So James 3, beginning at 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Back in James chapter 1, verse 5, we read, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all, without reproach, and it will be given him. If any of you lacks wisdom. But now, he asks this question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Remember, he has just warned his readers about the stricter judgment for would-be teachers. Shouldn't it be those that have been given wisdom and understanding from God that become teachers? He's just pointed out that there's a difficulty. There's a difficulty we all have in controlling our tongue. It should be those that have been given some control over their speech that should become teachers. And now he asks, who is wise? Is there anyone who is wise? Who is wise and has understanding Is there anyone among James's fellow followers of Christ, his brothers and sisters in Christ? He says, examine yourself. Do you consider yourself wise? Who among you is characterized by wisdom and understanding? Right? He asks all of them, you, are you wise? Is there someone that you can point to, right, among you all that is wise? Someone that is understanding, that has understanding? Wisdom is not simply knowledge, right? True wisdom has understanding also, right? An intelligence that comes with experience. And I mean, if we're honest, all people wish to appear wise, right? I want to appear wise. I want to be seen that way. I don't want to be a fool, right? That's the contrast. But few are truly wise, right? We want to appear wise, but true wisdom comes from God. Psalm 34, verse 12. You can turn there. Psalm 34, 12. Says, what man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Like, who doesn't want that? Who desires a good life? Who wants a long life? Who wants to see good things, right? This is all, like, who's not there? Right? You desire life. You want to live a long life and see these good things in the world. It is wise to desire those things. But they don't just happen, right? It is good to desire life, even a long life, to see the good. Well, there's something required of you. What must be done to have these things? Verse 13 of Psalm 34. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. So much of this here in Psalm 34 has influenced James. Like all good things, such as a long, good life, it must be pursued. Pursued by keeping your tongue in check, turning from sin, doing good works, and being peacemakers. All right, seek peace and pursue it. Do good. True wisdom comes at a cost, right? It comes at a cost. You do, right? You pursue peace. And you repent of sin, keeping your tongue in check. So James goes on, he says, if a person has godly wisdom, right? If there is someone out there, if you can point to someone, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Good works are not shown in pride. Good works are not showy. That's not to say that they can't be seen. They show. They're not hidden. They will show. We are not told to do them in secret, our good works. Not here. It says, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Here again, we're called to focus on works by James. Works, again, are the evidence of something. Right? Show. By his good conduct, let him show. Right? By his works, not merely by a profession. Again, this refers back to what James said in James 2, verse 18. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. How do we know a person is truly wise? How do we know if a person has knowledge, has understanding? There's evidence. It is shown by his good or right conduct, let him show his works. This word conduct, I found this really interesting. I hope you do. This word translated as conduct here means way of life. Way of life or manner of life, his behavior. His behavior. So by his good or right behavior, let him show his work. Works. Let him show, right, by his good or right way of life, let him show his works. But there's other, this word is also used other places in the Bible, and it's sometimes translated as conversation. Conversation. Really strange, right? We got way of life, manner of life, behavior, conduct, conversation. You are having a conversation with everyone around you through your works, right? What does your life say to those around you? What you do speaks of you, right? We've all heard your actions speak louder than words. Is it any wonder that this is following the section about the tongue, right? By his good way of life, let him show his works. By his good conversation, let him show his works. So good conduct, right, is evidence of true wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge, without these being shown, are as dead as faith would be without works. Right? Wisdom and knowledge, without the good works, would be just as dead as faith would be without works. So he who thinks well, or he who talks well, is not truly wise in the sense of the scriptures, if he does not live and act well. He who thinks well, he who talks well, is not truly wise in the sense of the scriptures, if he does not live and act well. So notice, it says, in the meekness of wisdom, let him show his works, right? And by his good conduct. What's this meekness? This meekness of wisdom. In Matthew 5:5, we probably have the, right, most arguably the most famous use of meekness, right? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Some Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on the parsonage door yesterday. yeah, and they said, the meek shall inherit the earth. And I was like, okay. They're like, do you study your Bible at all? I'm like, well, I'm the pastor here, so I hope that I, you know, study some. But they brought up this verse, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We can talk about that if you want to after church. It was interesting. But when we are mild, calm, gentle, right? That's that meekness we're talking about here. Mild, calm, gentle. Some people have described it as strength under control. It's not weakness by any means. It is not weakness. The weak will not inherit the earth. But those that are calm, right? Power under control, calm, gentle. Even think of like a big, strong man holding a little baby, right? There's meekness there. We're best able to hear reason when we're mild, calm, gentle. We're best able to speak it, right? Wisdom, reason. Right? Wisdom produces meekness, and meekness increases wisdom. Wisdom produces meekness, and meekness increases wisdom. Let the wise show their works by their manner of life, with the meekness that is really inseparable. Right? It's not separate from true wisdom. There is always meekness there. True wisdom cannot be separated from meekness. Verse 14. But But, and here's the contrast, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, but. So let's look at this. First, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, first, it must be admitted, right? If you have, right? Well, you admit that it is there, right? It takes self-examination, which James is calling us to do. You know, who is wise and understanding among you? Self-examination. Do you have bitter jealousy? Are you jealous of someone else's works? Are you jealous of what God has given your brother to do? Has it caused you to become bitter? Bitter jealousy. Bitter is a very negative and a very descriptive word. If you pretend to be wise, right? Pretend to be wise if you will. Like, go ahead, pretend. Right? You can be zealous for truth, zealous for orthodox doctrine. You can boast of knowing more than others, pontificating at every turn. If you use this really just out of your hatred or to make others hateful, right, to show your own spite and ill will against them, it's a shame to your profession of Christianity. If out of bitter jealousy, right, you can boast about knowing all kinds of things, but it's when you point a finger, it's a shame to your profession of Christianity. It is an outright contradiction to it. It's a lie against the truth. Are you bitter with God because he's given godly wisdom to someone else and not to you? So you're zealous for truth or orthodox doctrine out of your bitter jealousy because God has not given you true wisdom? Are you filled with selfish ambition? What does this look like? This is the showy work. Look what I did. Look at all that I do. Them over there, they don't do this. They don't do this. They don't do half of what I do for God. Do you do good works to be noticed? Or is it just an outflow? Is it a natural thing? From saving faith, good works come. Or do you do good works to be noticed? Did you see what I did? Right? Do you do good work to somehow rise above others? Is your ambition to somehow attain some position or role? Selfish ambition? Is that in meekness and wisdom? Is that weakness? Or I'm sorry, meekness and wisdom? If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, we're told, do not boast and be false to the truth. Do not boast. No, instead, admit it. See it. See it as God sees it. Confess your sin before God. Those who live in bitterness, hatred, envy, jealousy, strife, contentions, right, fighting, live a life of confusion. It's a life of confusion. They're easily provoked and quickly fall into all kinds of evil things, all kinds of evil deeds, evil works, if you will. Look at the next verse, verse 15. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. It's not. The boasting, the selfish ambition, the bitter jealousy. Doesn't matter how smart you are. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. But it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. And again, this is not what was given by God, right? Back in James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. Man, I act foolishly. Lord, grant me wisdom. Help me to make these decisions in light of your word. God's not going to have reproach over you. He's not going to say, man, stop. What's wrong with you? No, he gives generously without reproach. He knows that we're not wise. We can be fools. He gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Right? This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. It is earthly. This false wisdom that is not meek, that is full of self-ambition, full of bitter jealousy. It's earthly. You think your wisdom is heavenly? It's not. It's earthly. It's actually opposed to heaven. It's opposed to heaven. It's unspiritual. You think that, you know, this is what it looks like to be spiritual? It's not. It's the opposite, right? It's unspiritual or natural. Think of our natural state, the nature of man. Literally, this word means animal-like. Animal-like. This is the wisdom of the natural man. Animal-like. Not born again of God. Not having the Spirit, right? It's unspiritual. Jude 1:19 says, it is these who cause divisions. Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. Boasting of wisdom. Selfish ambition. Bitter. Jealousy. It is these who cause divisions. Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. And then James steps it up. Earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Demonic. You think this is godly? It's not. It's described here as being demonic, devilish. Just like a faith that is not accompanied by works. Demonic. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Its origin is hell. Right? James 3:6. And the tongue is a fire. Right? Setting on fire the entire course of life. Entire course of life. That sounds like our conduct, our behavior, our manner of life, our conversation. Right? The tongue is a fire, setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell. It's demonic. This is not the wisdom from God, the giver of true wisdom. Jumping back to James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. It's humbling. It's humbling to say, I need wisdom. But rather than acknowledging their lack and asking God in humility to be given true wisdom, those with bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in their hearts, those boasting and false to the truth. It's interesting, right? And I saw this and I was like, wow, that's crazy. The character of this type of wisdom agrees with its origin, right? The character of this type of wisdom agrees with its origin, right? Hell. Think about it. It is earthly, sensual, demonic. Earthly, sensual, demonic. They correspond perfectly with the three spiritual enemies of man, the world, the flesh, and the devil. All right, the character of this type of wisdom, bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, boasting, it's earthly, unspiritual or sensual, and demonic. goes right with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Verse 16, for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, guess what there will be? There will be disorder. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder. Not just disorder, if it couldn't get any worse, and every vile practice. Every vile practice, right? This is the fruit, disorder, a chaotic life. Someone who is bitter, jealous, full of selfish ambition. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care if you have right doctrine. The fruit of that is a chaotic life. And every vile, wicked, perverse, disgusting, abominable practice. Right? See the contrast. Right? Let's see the contrast of what godly wisdom is. See what results from humbly recognizing your lack, asking the Lord to give wisdom. And what's the contrast? The wisdom that God promises to give generously to all without reproach is defined by seven attributes here, seven characteristics, if you will. Verse 17, but the wisdom from above is first and foremost, pure. Pure. It is sanctified. Right? It is first and foremost set apart to God. This true wisdom is purified from all that is earthly, sensual, devilish. This wisdom is undefiled, blameless, above reproach, and unspotted from the world. Right? James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. Right? Pure and undefiled. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father. Right? First and foremost, before God the Father. Sanctified. Pure and undefiled. What is it? To visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And to keep oneself unstained from the world. That is wisdom. From above. It is first and foremost pure, keeping oneself unstained from the world, right? That is pure and undefiled religion. Looking to others' needs. The primary characteristic of true wisdom is its relation to God, right? And the rest of wisdom's attributes concern our fellow man. Two, the second one, it's peaceable. It's peaceable. We're not looking for fights. We'll actually talk about this a little bit more, this peaceable, because it talks about it in verse 18. So I'll hold off on the peaceable for a second. It's gentle. It's gentle, right? It forbears. It is forbearing, you know, making, covering things with love, right? It's gentle. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't ignore it. But we think about people a certain way. We're gentle, right? We're lenient in some way towards our neighbors. We get it, right? Right. We're lenient. We know what they owe, and we're gentle with them. We're not harsh. Next, it is this wisdom from above is open to reason. Literally, it's easily persuaded. Right, you can reason with this person who is wise. It's not harsh, right, as to your neighbor's faults. Gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits. Full of mercy and good fruits. This is contrasted with every evil work, right? James 3:16. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Well, no. Here, full of mercy and good fruits. It's contrasted. Full of good fruit, good works. Next, it is impartial. Godly wisdom, the wisdom that God gives, the wisdom that comes down from above, it's impartial. We've heard this before. James 2:1, my brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of God, Lord of glory. Partiality does not go with faith in Christ. We're not to be partial. We're not to show favoritism in any way. Not to the man who comes in with nice clothing and the gold ring, and not to that the one who comes in with shabby clothing, right? That has nothing, that can do nothing for you. Neither is to be favored above the other. James 2:9 says, but if you show partiality, you're committing sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor, right? Godly wisdom is impartial. Lastly, it is sincere. It is without hypocrisy. We've also seen this. It is without hypocrisy. Right? The mouth that spews out curses and blessings, curses to a fellow man and cursings to God. It's sincere, this godly wisdom. Verse 18, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. A harvest of righteousness, not a chaotic life, right? Not all forms of vile practice. No, a harvest of righteousness is sown not in contentions, but in peace by those who make peace or who are peacemakers, if you will. Right? They don't stir up strife, difficulty. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Don't get peacemakers confused with peacekeepers. It's easy to keep the peace. Shut your mouth. Don't say anything. Just let them do it. A peacemaker, listen, sometimes you have to drop a bomb to end a war. Right? You go to them, and it may not go well. It's not keeping the peace. I'm not saying go looking to drop bombs on people. Please don't. No. But sometimes, yeah, it can be a struggle. It can be work, right? To be a peacemaker, the one always going and saying, hey, can we talk about this? Rather than being the peacemaker and saying, you know what, I'm going to go for a walk. I'll be back in a couple days. No. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That's what Christ did. Look at the incarnation. Look at Christmas. He brought peace to a messed up world. Far as the curse is found, right? True wisdom, wisdom from above, will go on to sow, right, to plant the fruits of righteousness in peace. That which is sown in peace will produce a harvest of righteousness, a harvest of joy. Going back to Psalm 34 now, is what we started off with. I'm sure James must have had some of this in mind. Psalm 34:12. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. This is wisdom. This is wisdom from above. And it's available. It's available to us. It's available to us if we humble ourselves, go to God for it. And of course, in humility, that means turning from your pride. That means confessing that You know, we're not there, that we need these things. And then the natural outflow of having wisdom from above, right? Its characteristics, purity, peacemaking, gentleness, being open to reason, being full of mercy and good fruits, not being partial, being sincere, not being hypocritical. And there will be a harvest of righteousness. Right? Let others reap the fruits of contention and quarrels. But we should go on peaceably sowing the seeds of righteousness. And we may depend upon it, right? Our labor, our work will not be lost. Light is sown for the righteous. Gladness for the upright in heart. And the work of righteousness will be peace. And the effect of righteousness, fruit, right? Our harvest. Our harvest is quietness and assurance forever. Not chaos. Not vile work. So, my prayer for us this Sunday is may the purity, peace, gentleness, teachableness, if you will, and mercy shown in all of our actions and the fruits of righteousness to abound in our lives. May all of those things prove that God has bestowed upon us this excellent gift, this gift of true wisdom. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come before you knowing that we are in the flesh, that we are sinful, that we are distracted many times over as the Israelites with Joshua, with all kinds of idolatry around us. May we choose to serve you. May we choose what is wise, and may you give wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom. He could have had anything. You said, choose. May we choose wisdom. And may you give us all of this harvest. May you give us, may you cause us to be gentle, open to reason, full of mercy. But first and foremost, Lord, may we be pure. May we be set apart to you. And may you help us in this. We ask these things, Lord, that you might be glorified, that we might be able to point to you and say, I was a fool. But Lord, you use the foolish things of this world to despise the wise, the wisdom of this world. Lord, we want to be able to point to you and give you glory. In Christ's name, amen.